Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of B-Town. It's Bill Bartholomew here with you. Today, an important conversation that I had last week when I was hosting on WPRO on the radio. And look, it's an issue that if it doesn't impact you directly right now, you probably know somebody who is impacted by not being able to pay rent and maybe not on the verge of an eviction, but, you know, just behind because of everything that we've gone through throughout the course of COVID-19 and the shifts in our job infrastructure, the economy itself, so on and so forth. So today, the conversation I had last week with Michael Billow, who is the news editor for Motif Magazine, that's the alternative monthly newspaper here in Rhode Island, and he took a deep dive into Rent Relief RI. Now, there are millions and millions of dollars available for people who basically haven't been able to pay their rent and are on the verge of eviction or anticipate they may not be able to pay their rent. And these are dollars that, frankly, they can't be used for anything else. Now, Rhode Island Housing, which is sort of administering this process, has rolled out about $50 million, but there's still about $300 million left to give out. And I think, you know, if you're in a situation where you should take advantage of this, where you can take advantage of it, you should, because this is, again, money that is for this exact purpose. And I think a lot of people are not, at least in the conversations I've had around town, a lot of people aren't even aware that this program exists. And if they are aware, they're sort of burdened by the application process or what seems to be a bit of a daunting task to get this done. So I think Michael did a really good job in Motif of just sort of laying out, here's the program, here's who's eligible, and here's how you go about applying for it. And he even put some active links in his story on Motif's website. So you can just kind of click through to get to the various applications and bits of information you may need. So I wanted to amplify this. We did it on the radio, and I think that it's worth the amplification of putting it here on the podcast as well, because it's such an important conversation. And I think, again, Michael did a really good job of just sort of summarizing it here for all of you. Remember to give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Bill Bartholomew, and join the Bartholomew Town Podcast Facebook group for daily content and discussion. As always, thanks for making Bartholomew Town, Rhode Island's number one podcast. Now here's my conversation with Mike Billow on the radio on WPRO.
We've had conversations with the White House advocating for changes in regulations of the program and the guidelines so that we can get money out quicker to the people who need the money. So I'm pleased to report today that over $50 million has been approved in rental and utility assistance to nearly 4,600 renter households. This includes over $16 million in payments for utilities for low and moderate income customers' utility bills. I think you recall that I think we had about $1 million out in the first 90 days, and the last 90 days about $49 million. So that's a good pace, and we're going to keep it going.
Okay, that there, Governor McKee, from last week's regular press conference. Don't get it confused with the COVID press conference here. Talking about Rent Relief Rhode Island, which is the rollout of a significant sum of dollars intended to help people who have fallen behind on their rent during the course of the pandemic. And frankly, those who anticipate that they may fall behind going forward. And as I understand the program and speaking with people at Rhode Island Housing and obviously being at the press conference and speaking with Governor McKee and others around him in his orbit on this matter, it's basically you get 3 months rent using a self-attestation form that you basically sign off on and get processed through RI Housing, which is not a governmental agency. It's a nonprofit organization that's been tasked with administering this program. And if you've fallen behind on your rent, you know, you can make your landlord whole and you can avoid ideally avoid eviction or the discomfort of being behind on your rent. Now, there's been complaints that people are getting the checks 3 months at a shot for back rent and not giving it to their landlord, pocketing it and doing whatever they want with it. So there's been complaints there. I know that there are also people who are telling me that, they're saying, well, you know what, I think I'm going to apply for it anyway, even though I'm not behind on my rent. Why not? What's the level of scrutiny? So there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. But at the end of the day, it's just part of a package of dollars that, frankly, Democrats and Republicans during the pandemic, the thick of the pandemic, approved without a whole lot of second guessing, right? You know, the whole trillion-dollar coins? I mean, that's what's playing out here. New money, newly minted dollars. This isn't taken from taxation dollars. This is new money inserted into the economy that the idea is to make landlords whole, building owners whole, and then ideally banks whole, right? I mean, at the end game, it's supposed to go back to the banking structure that really dominates our economy anyway. So there's a lot of detail orientation to this program. And I think a lot of you out there listening right now, this may pique your interest. You might be saying, well, you know, I didn't really think about this or hear about this. Or you may know somebody that needs this. Or you may be a property owner that you can say, hey, you know what, I want to fill out this form myself because I need to get paid. Or you might be saying, hey, this doesn't sound right. I paid my rent on time throughout the pandemic. I made sacrifices. I didn't go on vacation. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. So am I now being left out because I made technically the right decision to pay rent on time? So a lot of complex questions to answer. And someone who's done an absolutely outstanding job of breaking this issue down is the news editor for Motif Magazine. That's the monthly alternative press, if you will, that has a website and also is a physical newspaper, which I used to deliver, by the way, back when I first started in media. Michael Billow joins us here on the CCONG Supply Hotline. How you doing, Michael?
I'm well. Thank you for inviting me on.
Of course. So break down for us this program and where it currently stands in terms of what most Rhode Islanders should know about it right now.
Well, I published a substantial article. You can read it on motifri.com/ri-rent-relief on motifri.com. And it goes into a lot of the detail. Let me correct a couple of things. The three-month limitation is only for future rent. That is in addition to back rent from April 1st, 2020, with the date, the beginning of the pandemic. So you could theoretically get many months of back rent plus up to 3 months of upcoming rent. And there is no requirement to be actually in arrears. You just have to meet the requirements of the program. You know, your income has to be below a certain level. You have to have incurred significant cost, reduction of income, financial hardship due to COVID, et cetera. And you have to be at risk of experiencing homelessness or housing instability. So if you have an eviction notice or you have unpaid back rent, that constitutes risk of homelessness or housing instability. But it's not an absolute requirement, and there are other ways to qualify. So there's a list of qualifications for the program. And in fact, it also will pay utility bills and back utility bills, so you can apply separately. You can apply for back rent. You can apply for back utilities. You can apply for both. And, you know, you can go through the whole thing. And you can get more information about that. My article links all that. But you go to rhodeislandhousing.com/rentreliefri, and that's where you begin the process of applying for the program. And it'll explain things like what are the eligibility requirements, rules, and so forth. And the program is, frankly, confusing. Congress created this as part of the American Rescue Plan back in March 2021. And they allocated $21.6 billion nationally. And the allocation rules among the states are complicated, too. Rhode Island would be entitled, on the basis of its population, to, I think, about $76 million. But because there's a small state minimum, Rhode Island got a first tranche of about $200 million and a second tranche of about $152 million for a total amount of money available of about $352 million. And that's a very large amount of money compared to the need in Rhode Island. And Rhode Island Housing was very candid with me. They admitted that the program, when it started up in Rhode Island, was kind of screwed up. And it was screwed up enough so that they ended up firing their technology contractor who ran the website and everything else, and they just started over with a different contractor. And it's moving now. There is a website, BillyFarai, and you can create an application. There's about 13,000 people who have already created accounts. A little more than half, about 6,900 people have completed an application. About 6,300 people have started an application but not completed it. And they've allocated out, they've actually paid out about $36 million to landlords and about $3 million, $3.2 million to tenants directly. And you mentioned earlier that people can get the money but not pay the landlord. The program is intended to pay the landlord directly.
Sure.
So when a tenant starts the process, they have to name their landlord, and the landlord is invited to participate. And as long as the landlord agrees to participate and cooperate with the process, you mentioned earlier about the people getting the money but not paying their landlords. I said, as long as the landlord participates in the program and cooperates with Rhode Island Housing, then they get paid directly. It doesn't go through the tenant. And the only case in which the tenant is paid directly is if the landlord declines to cooperate with the process. So as long as the landlord is willing to cooperate with Rhode Island Housing and provide their information, proof that they own the building, et cetera, then Rhode Island Housing will pay the landlord directly by, like, electronic bank transfer or whatever.
Gotcha. All right. Let me just ask you a couple of questions here based on your reporting.
Sure.
So we're talking about $352 million right now in Rhode Island that is intended to help people who have either fallen behind on rent as far back as April 2020 and can pay people 3 months in advance if they anticipate a situation arising or the situation that's currently happening further developing that could risk that could find them at risk of becoming houseless or on the edge thereof. So this is a ton of money, and you would have to assume that this money can, and I vaguely remember you asking this question, it cannot be sent back to D.C. or used for any other purpose. Is that correct?
I don't know exactly. It can't be used for any other purpose, but I think there is an end date to the program. I don't know exactly what it is. I think it's the end of 2022. I think if it is unspent, it returns to the federal government, but I'm not certain of that.
Gotcha. Okay. So basically, if you're out there right now listening wherever, in anywhere throughout the, throughout Rhode Island, but even in southern New England, if you obviously probably know somebody in Rhode Island, you should get on this then. Is that what you're basically, the point is that this is money, it's going to be there, go on, take the money and run, woo-hoo-hoo, and make it happen, because otherwise this is just going to poof. It's not like this can be used to build a school or any other programs at this point.
That's correct. This is an allocation specifically for relief for rent and utilities problems. And in addition, this is intended as a public policy move. I mean, if you're going to have things like eviction moratoriums where the courts say you can't evict people or the courts are closed and you can't evict tenants, then basic fairness dictates that the government has to step in and take the other half of that and say, well, we're going to make the money available to pay the landlords, because if we stop the landlords from evicting the tenants and collecting the money that way, then the tenants are unable to pay and the economy would just crash if we started throwing people out on the streets in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
So there's a public policy reason to make landlords whole. And you mentioned earlier, so the tenants can pay their landlords and landlords can pay their mortgages and so on. Otherwise, the whole thing comes apart at the seams.
What's your take on all of this right now, based on your reporting, in terms of opportunity for fraud or situations that are fraudulent? In other words, people who are, it is a complex process. I've seen the application myself. I've sat through the press conferences with Governor McKee, and I've spoken with people at Rhode Island Housing on this. But my sense is that there is an opportunity for just about anybody who wants to complete this process to be able to go and take the dollars, even without a ton of verification, based on the fact that you can self-attest to financial hardship. Do you think there's a great opportunity for fraud in this program?
I don't think there's that great an opportunity. I mean, you can self-attest to a number of things, but the self-attestation isn't really aimed at the financial hardship issue. The self-attestation is really aimed at people who say don't have a written lease.
Yeah.
Because the poorer you are, the more likely you are to not have a written lease, to be on month to month or whatever.
Sure.
And it's obviously the worst possible option to make the application process harder for the poorest people and those most in need. So things like self-attestation are not proof of income. And in fact, the federal government changed the rules because they were having so much trouble getting the money out the door. The process was moving so slowly, the federal government said, look, we're going to look at certain census tracts. And this was the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So we're going to look at certain census tracts. And if you live in a particular census tract where the area median income, which is a technical term I won't get into, but it basically has to do with how much money your household takes in, is less, a majority of the people in that census tract have an AMI less than 80% of the AMI, then we're going to consider that a distressed area, and we're not even going to bother verifying your income situation.
Wow.
Because they're, almost everybody is eligible, is what they're saying. So if you live based on your address, you're going to be eligible. And I don't think that's a situation really for fraud. The Congress deliberately structured the eligibility fairly loosely. I mean, one of the things I point out in the article, and this is controversial, but Congress explicitly authorized even undocumented immigrants to be eligible for the rent relief program. Yeah. And that's a real surprise to people. But if you think about it, it makes sense because the vast majority of undocumented immigrant tenants are paying rent to citizen landlords. So it's the landlords who are getting the money.
Fascinating
stuff. Congress made a conscious decision to do it that way.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting, and ultimately, obviously, the banks are getting their money if folks are made whole here. So, well, good work on this story. You can read it at motifri.com and in the latest edition of Motif Magazine, which you can find all over the place. I know firsthand because, like I said, I used to deliver the paper back in the day, really not that long ago, like 3 years ago when I was first breaking into media. Mike Abillo on the CCONC Supply Hotline. Thanks so much for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And again, the web version of the article is longer than the print version because we have limitations on what we can fit in print. So I encourage. And the other thing about the web version is that there are a number of nonprofit partner organizations who work with Rouen Housing to help people go through the very complicated application process, like the Center for Justice, Rouen Legal Services, and so on. And each and every one of those partner organizations is linked from my article on the web. So if you read the web article and you need some help starting an application, just click through the links, and that'll take you to the appropriate organizations. And that's, you know, Family Service Rhode Island, Comprehensive Community Action Program, CCAP, and so on. But there are a bunch of those, including the Center for Justice and Rhode Island Legal Services, and they'll help you out. And they also help you out if you have language issues, if, you know, you're not an English native English speaker or something like that.
All very important stuff, and appreciate your time on this matter.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.